Hi, welcome back to From the Classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. We have a special podcast for you guys today, for everyone today. We have with us a graduate from Heidelberg Theological Seminary, Reverend Cody Schwichtenberg, Reverend Cody J. Schwichtenberg, and he's meeting with us via Zoom. He's up in Harriet, and I can tell he's in the parsonage there, and he's meeting with us via Zoom to talk about his experience of getting to Heidelberg, at Heidelberg, and you know, Lord bless this opportunity. We'll have more than one podcast with Reverend Schwichtenberg with us. But today, Dr. Kerner is going to have this conversation with Schwichtenberg here, and I've saying the last name more than once because it took me forever to learn how to say it. So here we go. It's good to have you, Cody, and blessings on your ministry up there. I understand things are going well, and look forward to hearing some of your story is getting to Heidelberg, getting into the classroom here, and studying with Dr. Kerner.
So, hey, Cody, it's good to have you with us today. It's always good to visit with you. I have fond memories, not only of first getting to know you, which I will tell you, the first time I saw this email that came across my email from, well, it said Garner, Iowa, so I thought, well, that looked pretty good. But then Cody Schwichtenberg, who in the world is this guy? And I was wondering if there was some sort of scam going on here or whatever. So anyway, I know that I know the stories, et cetera. But tell me a little bit about how you first heard about Heidelberg Seminary and what are the steps that led, other than the fact that you wanted to keep your girlfriend happy at the time and impress her family. So,
well, thank you guys. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And, well, it's my first interaction with Heidelberg actually came through, Pastor Harvey Opp. I was attending, Garner Church. I hadn't become a member yet. But
well, that's Peace Reformed Church of Garner, Iowa. So.
Correct. And I had a desire, or at least I had an interest in possibly entering into the ministry probably, back in 2009. And, I wasn't really for sure yet. And, I know Dr. Kerner, you came for a mission fest at Peace Reformed Church there. And you were preaching on, I believe it was Ezekiel 34. And you were speaking on, you know, God being the shepherd of his people. And I remember an application that you brought up of how we need men to be raised up in the RCUS for ministry. And as I was listening to the sermon, I think it was after it was done, I nudged Angie and I told her I think I want to pursue ministry. And she kind of, I couldn't see her, but I think she may have rolled her eyes like, yeah, right. And after you came and you preached that sermon, at first I wasn't, you know, Heidelberg Seminary wasn't on my radar completely. I did go look at another seminary, but once I came to Heidelberg, it was, I don't know, it was different from the one that I checked out. And I was drawn to the fact that the purpose was to prepare me for ministry, and that it wasn't about, you know, who's the big name professors or anything like that. I just wanted to learn, and I actually was interested in becoming a chaplain.
I remember that.
Yep, and that changed over the course of 4 years of learning at Heidelberg.
So you can blame me for a number of things that you're into right now, huh?
Correct, correct. It's all your fault. So,
so what were the steps a little bit more now? Your girlfriend at the time, your wife now, and her family, I knew them. Well, I knew her parents. I remembered her family as when she was a little girl. And they indicated they wanted to come and visit, and they kind of, you looked like this little puppy that they were dragging along with them or whatever. But anyway, What led to that visit, and tell us a little bit more about how that visit went for you.
Well, I think I had quite a few interactions with you over the phone, in email, and you know, we sat down in the library there and we talked, and I didn't know a whole lot. I knew very little about the Christian faith. I knew the basics. I did grow up. I was confirmed Lutheran when I was younger. And just sitting and talking with you guys, I knew that if I was going to come to Heidelberg, I was going to learn how to be a minister. And you were at Heidelberg, I was going to be taught the scriptures, and I wasn't going to get a lot of, you know, the things that you can go to a bad seminary and not learn the correct stuff. So I guess I had confidence in Heidelberg, going to Heidelberg, but I was kind of going in blind. I really didn't know what I was getting into.
So now, just thinking about the name Heidelberg, but I'm assuming that prior to this, you had been introduced to the Heidelberg Catechism. What was your first introduction? How did that go?
Well, my first introduction was hearing it, you know, in worship. A pastor would read it, and we would respond with the answer, and he would give a short explanation, and then a deeper introduction to Heidelberg came when I was taking membership classes there at Peace Reformed Church. And I really enjoyed it. I liked it was easy enough to understand. And we could probably mention this in a future podcast, but my appreciation for the Heidelberg Catechism actually has increased from then to now, especially I think now almost 6 years in the ministry. And I love the Heidelberg Catechism.
I appreciate you saying that for a number of reasons, but that is the nature of the Heidelberg Catechism. You will never stop learning more about it, learning to appreciate it more. I'm convinced of that. Okay, now, so the next step would be when you started taking courses at Heidelberg. Obviously, in your early courses, it wasn't necessarily something that was in the forefront and every day in class, but how even more did you become capable to understand and appreciate with what happened in the classroom in terms of the Heidelberg?
Well, I guess the one of the first classes I took was Reformed Worship. And the thing that stuck out to me was walking through those first four commandments, looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, coming out of a Lutheran background, I really never saw the second commandment. So my first interaction with the second commandment actually I remember came from my Reformed Worship class, and that was something brand new to me, understanding Reformed Worship, biblical worship, because, you know, Angie and I had a lot of discussions about worship when we were dating, and a lot of debates, and I didn't know, you know, what was the big deal, you know, why do some churches do some things and others do other things? And really the catechism and especially that class helped me out with understanding what biblical worship looks like.
Well, good. Tell me a little bit more about then, as a student, going on from the worship class. I'm trying to remember, obviously you had a course in more formally on confessions and so on, but did you find that I mean, what does the catechism have to do with church history? What does the catechism have to do with systematic theology? Did you find that the Heidelberg Catechism was kind of an add-on every now and then, or was it integral to your training and your growing in that regard?
Oh, it was connected to all of them to some extent. You think of church history, the catechisms connect us with those in the past, and it shows that, you know, we're just not making stuff up as it goes, that it has real significance to then and now, dealing with issues in church history, looking at, you know, the debates with the sacraments, and also the understanding of, you know, justification by faith alone, and stuff like that. And then with preaching, one of my favorite classes is going through homiletics and understanding how that connects to preaching, the thing that sticks out in my mind, and I always remember this, is the catechism and the confessions are guards or guardrails to make sure that you're staying in line. And I remember you mentioning that quite a bit during my time in a number of classes.
Well, you know, let me follow up on that for just a moment. I like that reference. Obviously, you got that from Professor. And by the way, it's okay to say nice things about your professor. So, but at any rate, at a future podcast, I would like to explore with you and visit with you about how you find in your ministry now the use of the Heidelberg Catechism, how it helps you in your ministry. But let me just pursue for a moment the idea of the guard or the protection. Explain that a little bit more. Guard from what?
Guard from error, and also a guard from going outside of what the scriptures say.
So I think you use the word guards in the plural. So on the one hand, it guards you from going in a wrong direction. How does it guard you in the other way?
So guardian, and explain a little bit more about that.
Okay, in terms of, if it keeps you from going from error, but does it also help you in terms of what you need to be teaching, what you need to be preaching? How do you know that you are doing what you need to be doing as a minister of the gospel?
Absolutely. I'll give you this example to bring this out. And this happened during my time at seminary, and this connects with JP. I went over there to preach at a mission fest, and he had me practice my sermon and everything like that. And
while he was pastor at Hope Church in Pierce, South Dakota, right?
Correct. And I guess I was a little hesitant on what I was saying. You know, I was after my first year
being a young pastor, sure.
Yeah. And after I talked to him a little bit, he actually pointed me to the Belgian Confession, and he had me read it. And he says, well, does your sermon fit with what's said here in the Belgian Confession? And I said, yes. He says, then I think you're okay. So in that sense, yes, it makes sure that I am being faithful to what the scriptures say, being doctrinally sound as well.
And of course that fits in very well. You've mentioned a couple of times the idea of Reformed worship. If we hold to the idea, which I believe we must, and I know you agree with this, that ultimately in the worship service, in the formal service, it is in fact Jesus speaking to his congregation. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty heavy weight, as you basically indicated, getting ready to step into the pulpit. You don't want to do that if you're not confident that your And certainly as a young pastor, when you're trying to explore your skills with exegeting a passage, but at the end of the day, as you just said, your experience, if you are saying what's within the creeds, you know you're in the boundaries. So there's two ways to go over those boundaries. People might say something that is wrong, liberally speaking, but people might also want to say from the scripture something that is even more narrowly defined, or if I can use the word conservative, than what the creed goes. And so it protects us from not trying to take a position that is maybe not really what scripture upholds. Do you find it from, that's what I mean by the two guards on both ends of the spectrum.
Correct. And I agree with you on that.
So anyway, so you tell me about how you use the creed. We'll just go there for a moment yet. How do you use the creed in terms of your preaching specifically?
Okay.
I mean, you've already mentioned in terms of it helps you to be comfortable when you go into the pulpit. And you find that pretty important, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And I guess there's a number of ways that the catechism comes out in my sermons. One way is naturally, in the sense that as I'm speaking, the language of the catechism comes out. And another way is I quote from it quite a bit. Probably right now, there's very rarely that I don't at least either quote from the catechism or use the language of the catechism. And recently, we had two baptisms, plus we're having the Lord's Supper this upcoming Sunday. So I actually have been doing some catechism sermons as well, which I found very helpful. I haven't done very many of those, but I have enjoyed it thus far doing that.
Very good. I would even further want to explore that with you at some point, but let me take you back just one more thing as we were discussing the whole business today of coming to Heidelberg and being a student here. You mentioned the fact that you initially thought you wanted to be, and I remember that well, tell me that when you first came, that you wanted to be like a hospital chaplain. What happened to get you to, for you to make that transition? No, I don't want to be a chaplain. I want to be a full pastor.
I think as I was going through the classes, I started to realize, when it comes to ministry, like obviously there's a place for chaplain ministry, but primarily when it comes to, being a pastor, it's in the context of a local church. And I came under the conviction of how, pastoral ministry looks like. And the things that I was learning from at Heidelberg and in the classes were connected to being a pastor of a local congregation. So I would say I probably ditched the chaplain, thought probably pretty early. And as I went through the classes, I became more and more convinced that I wanted to do pastoral ministry in the RCUS.
I'll tell you a little secret. When you first told me about chaplaincy, and I just kind of said, okay, we'll see about that. I said that to myself, but we'll probably talk about that. So anyway, that's kind of how it happened. So, well, Dr. Mosley, I think we've been exploring how Cody came to the seminary and kind of always his involvement with Heidelberg Catechism. But I would like to have a further conversation with him about his use of that in the ministry generally, and then more specifically also perhaps in his preaching.
Absolutely. I ironically, I met Cody before, or right before he started going to Heidelberg.
That's right.
I was in between churches, going from North Carolina to Pierre, and we were staying in Iowa and we were attending Garner, and here comes this, this guy, clearly a wrestling fan.
That's right.
clearly a Ric Flair fan.
So somehow or another, that's my one failure. I didn't get him out of that.
He didn't get that from Heidelberg. Anyway, and he comes up to me and he introduces himself and I said, hi, how you doing? And he tells me he's planning on going to Heidelberg Theological Seminary. And I'm pretty sure I said to him, hey, that's great, man. I hope you do well there. And he has. Look at him. And, got to talk to him. He did a mission fest for me. It was an encouraging moment. And
we talked about that. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Various things. I had to step out of the room, but anyway, it's been great. I know we're going to do another podcast with you, brother. Looking forward to seeing you as we're recording this. The following week is Synod for the RCUS. We may not get a recording in next week. So we're going to, but Lord willing, we'll get one in the week after that and would love to have you back so we can hear some more of how you're able to use the tools that Heidelberg gave you in the ministry.
Well, thanks for having me, and I look forward to future podcasts.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening to From the Classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. And again, ways that you can support the seminary is follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Sermon Audio. You can go to the website, heidelbergseminary.org, click the Contact Us, the Support tab, and those are various ways that you can get a hold of us and support us at the seminary. Thank you.